That's true.
At some point.
That's true. So, Robbie, okay, can you name any horses running in the Kentucky Derby?
The one that was there at the Arkansas Derby.
That's very good. That's what I kind of expected. You know what, though? You're singularly focused on the things that matter.
Wait, is there one called, like, California something?
Yes. California Chrome is the favorite. Very good.
California Chrome is the favorite. And Tapature is the one there at the Arkansas Derby,
oh,
right?
Look at you. Somebody's got a strip sheet out now. Look at you. All right,
look at that.
Robbie, good enough. Good enough. And, yeah, Tapature did not come through, as I anticipated, at the Arkansas Derby. But that's okay. He is running in the Derby, though, so the Kentucky Derby. All right, speaking of Kentucky, Kentucky got a win. Did they have an inside-the-park home run? Did I see that as one of the top 10 highlights last night when they played Tennessee?
I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. It sounded like they got a lot of hits and a lot of runs in that game.
Okay. Well, they improved, so they're like 10-12 now overall. Arkansas, let's focus there. Playing the 10th, 11th, 15th, or 16th team in the country in Ole Miss this weekend, depending on which poll you look at. I do know this. The Rebels have 33 wins, and they are having a very nice season. Arkansas continuing to struggle at the plate, at least when you look at them statistically compared to the rest of the SEC. And after what was a disappointing weekend last week against Auburn at home, they will be on the road this week in Oxford. So the matchup, pretty typical. You got Trey Killian, who amazingly is 2-7. Still remarkable what he's been able to do. He is going up against a guy named Chris Ellis, who has a slightly better ERA and clearly is getting a little more run support than Trey Killian is. He's undefeated this year.
Yeah, it's unbelievable what's happened to Killian this year, and it's unfortunate. He's pitched great all year, but they just can't score runs for him. You know it's got to be frustrating to him. He does a great job of just kind of brushing it off and saying it's no big deal. You know, I'm just trying to go out there and do my job. You know, I'm going to pitch as good as I can and hope that, you know, the offense gets going. And so he's kind of taking the ultimate team role there, and you got to appreciate that out of him. But, you know, the poor guy. He's just been the bad luck pitcher all year long. But it's a very, very big week for Arkansas. You're going to Ole Miss, a team that's number 4 in the RPI right now. So if you're able to get over there and figure out a way to get a series win, to me, that almost wraps up. You know, that pretty much wraps up an NCAA tournament berth for this team. So we'll see what happens. Now, you know, saying it and doing it are two totally different things because Ole Miss is very, very good at the plate. They're hitting over 300 as a team. And, you know, as you said, you know, they're opening night starter. I mean, they've got a really good starting rotation. So they're pitching and they're hitting. They're doing both very well, and that's why they've been so good this year.
Yeah, Arkansas is facing an undefeated pitcher tonight. They'll be facing an undefeated pitcher tomorrow in Christian Trent, who is 6-0. So it does not get much easier. And unlike Arkansas, Ole Miss not only has a solid pitching staff with a 2.48 staff ERA, but they're also second in the league in average at 3.08. And they smacked 33 home runs, which is second by one home run to Alabama. So they are pretty salty, both offensively and defensively, or at least on the mound. I don't know about, I guess, their fielding, but.
Yeah, I think it's second batting average, second in home runs, and I think third in runs scored, you know, something like that. So clearly this is a team that hasn't had any trouble putting up runs. So it's a really intriguing matchup between Arkansas starting pitching, which has been very solid all conference season long, against this lineup. And, you know, so to me, you know, if Arkansas can hold them down, it's great. But as we all know, Arkansas is going to be able to score some runs to win these games here. So you might do a great job against Ole Miss and hold them to 2 or 3 runs. Or are you going to be able to score that many too to win these games? And that's what's been iffy most of the season, as we all know, with the Razorbacks.
Arkansas not changing their rotation, it looks like, from what I see here. Is that right,
yeah,
Robbie?
Yeah, it's going to stay the same. Obviously, you know, Killian and Beeks have been great all year long. Oliver's had a couple of shaky performances here lately. I'm really interested to see how he'll bounce back on Sunday. If you get the best of Chris Oliver, he's going to be very hard to hit, and Arkansas's going to be in great shape for that series finale. Because he, you know, when he's on, you know, it's not often that teams have three great starters like that. So that really gives Arkansas an advantage when he's on. But, you know, he really, really, really struggled last weekend. So it's a big weekend for him.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, too, if Arkansas wins this series on the road, at worst they would be 500. If they go 2-1, they'd be 500 in conference play. So it is a significant achievement, especially to do it on the road, especially to do it against a team like Ole Miss, which is tied for first in the West, by the way, with Alabama, the team that has the most home runs in the SEC right now. Okay, so we'll see how it shakes out. I don't know about, doesn't look like there's TV tonight, and tomorrow looks like ESPN3 and then maybe some CSS, so there will be some availability on Sunday for the finale, and hopefully that is at no worse a rubber match game. So those games are at 6:35, 3:15, and 1:30, and you can hear all of them right here on 103.7 The Buzz, and that Saturday game, 3:15, is that right?
I think it's the 1 o'clock, actually.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I thought it was like a 1:45 game, maybe, or something. But
yeah, 1:15, something like that, I think.
Yeah, I better double-check that. The pitching rotation that was sent out to me here is indicating 3:15, but we'll double-check that. I don't think that's accurate. In fact, I'm sure it's not. So we'll get on that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right for a Sunday, especially, yeah.
No, this is I'm talking about Saturday. I'm talking about Saturday.
Oh, Saturday.
Sunday's 1:30, right. It says.
Okay.
But I thought this. I think the Saturday, unless they changed it, the Saturday game was a little bit, because we were trying to get the Kentucky Derby on as well. I'll check the Arkansas baseball schedule here. But anyway, this is from the SEC, so who knows. This is the same SEC, of course, that has screwed us with 2 3 o'clock kicks early in the season. Arkansas State, by the way, is also playing on the SEC Network against Tennessee on September 6th, the same day Arkansas plays at 3 o'clock. Arkansas State travels to Knoxville to play Tennessee at 11 a.m., which would be significantly better, in my opinion. I guess, what were your thoughts on the early matchups and the television schedule, and how bothered are you by the 3 o'clock kicks, even though, of course, you're going to be sitting up there in the nice, comfy, air-conditioned press box?
I am loving the 3 o'clock kicks. Are you kidding me? As far as deadline goes, this is perfect for me. And that's all that matters.
Better than 11?
I care about myself. 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock kickoff. That's all that matters. You know, whatever's best for me and being able to get my stories done. So I'm all for it.
As long as it helps you, I'm okay with it.
Is that better than an 11 o'clock kick for you?
No. 11 o'clock is even better.
Okay.
Yeah, 11 o'clock is perfect. I love 11 a.m. kickoffs. But
okay.
I'm not going to be picky with 3 o'clock.
By the way, the Saturday game is 2:15. So, hey, SEC, get your schedule right, folks. You're off. Maybe they forgot to translate
they
that to Central Time, yes. 2:15 start on Saturday. Okay. But honestly, though, I don't know how much you've heard, and you may hear more of it between now and then after more people catch on to it, but the 3 o'clock kick last year in the opener was absolutely unbearable, and unless we get some unseasonably cool temperatures, it's a total disservice and a total flipping of the bird at the fan base. I'm so disappointed in the SEC. Here's the thing. At least if Jeff Long would jump up and go, you know what, this is a joke, and we've got to get this fixed going forward, I would be at least somewhat satisfied that the athletic director voiced the strong opinion that he was bothered by it, because I'm really bothered by it.
Yeah, it can be brutal for the fans. There's no doubt. You know, you're talking about a guy who grew up going to Florida games, and in some of those 2:30 or I guess it was 3:30 Eastern time kickoffs, even in like October in the swamp, were pretty nasty and sticky affairs. So when you're talking about, you know, late August, early September, you know, the heat can get amazing. Last year, remember, it was so. I think it was like 103 degrees at kickoff last year for the opener.
Yeah.
And of course, Bielema trots out there in his windbreaker that, you know, really kind of baffled all of us. But there's no doubt it's a hot, sticky situation, and that's why teams for years have scheduled these games at 6 o'clock. Just, you know, they want to think about, you know, the conditions. You know, at least it's in the evening, so the sun's going down, you know, for those kickoffs, so it's not quite as hot, not in the middle of the day, but certainly Arkansas players and fans alike, to start the season here next year, you're talking about a 3 o'clock kick down at Auburn, so you know that's going to be sizzling, and then, of course, 3 o'clock kick the next weekend up here against Nicholls State, so it's going to be some very, very warm football being played, no doubt, to start the season.
I think this is probably a safe bet. Robbie Neisbonger joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline from the Arkansas News Bureau. Okay, I think I'm done complaining. Now, there are some good games, by the way, early on. The first game of the SEC season will be between Texas A&M and South Carolina, a very good game. Other games here, let's see, from the early going. UCF at Missouri could be an interesting game. The Knights, obviously, with a great season last year, they'll be replacing a quarterback. And so will Missouri, but not as significantly unproven as Central Florida's will be. And then I guess that's about it as far as high-profile games that I'm seeing here in the early going. But that Arkansas State-Tennessee game could be kind of fun as well. See how Coach does over there in his first game. So Or maybe that'll be their second game. I don't know. I guess Arkansas State probably opens a week before that.
Probably. I'm not sure. But I do like what they're doing with the SC Network schedule. They're making it a point that they're putting a lot of games on this right away. And not only that, they're making sure that they're not just, you know, an SEC team against a, you know, football subdivision team or whatever it is, FCS team. You've got the matchups like the Auburn and the Arkansas. You've got these kind of games that are going to really attract viewers and really make it interesting to watch on TV if you're not attending the game. So this is what they wanted to do with this network. They want the programming to be interesting every week. So that's why you're seeing, that's the reason why Arkansas is open against Auburn. And you're going to see stuff like that every year from now on. Not necessarily meaning Arkansas is going to open up against the conference opponent, but somebody's going to be doing that every year because they want the programming spread out over the entire season. They want good matchups and great games to put on this network, and so you're going to see a lot of these games from now on.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad we get to see Nicholls State and Arkansas at 3:00 in the afternoon. Because guess what? I'm going to be watching it on TV. There's no way I'm sitting my fat butt in there and melting. But you know what? I do encourage people to go. I sound totally hypocritical here. I don't want to discourage people to go. I mean, if you can deal with it, great. If I didn't have young kids and I was going with a couple of buddies, it'd be fine. But I took my kid out there. I mean, it's miserable for a little guy.
It's just clearly what we're getting to is. It's all about TV, and the time of day really doesn't matter because of how TV. Yeah, I just don't think that over the course of time, I get more and more excited probably about the tailgate than actually going into the stadium and turns into just watching the game. I know I'm part of the problem, but it is for me to be at a game and watch a game with all the stoppage in play and how long it takes with all the commercials. I get distracted very easily. You know that.
This is true.
So I find myself looking up into the clouds, and it was like, hey, they're about to score.
There were no clouds last year. It was all sunshine. So
Everything's changed, man, and unfortunately, the direction may be towards the people who are getting the beer and wine where.
Yes.
Up in the
suites
where there's AC.
Right.
And, you know, other than that, you get a great experience watching TV because you can wake up or, you know, do whatever your morning Saturday routine is, watch game at 11, watch game at 3. Watch game at 6:30, whatever the next time is, and then another primetime game. It just seems to set up perfectly for us to watch at the house, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yes. One last thing, unless you can get a suite seat.
That's
we got to work on that.
Alternative.
Yeah, you know what? We got to buy you some suite seats. That's, yeah. Okay, one last thing here. This is from, I think it's from, this is Saturday Down South, I believe. Yeah, SaturdayDownSouth.com. Ranking the SEC coaches, and again, these are so irrelevant.
Love this.
But we like to fill in the gaps. I just like to see what people are thinking about Arkansas publicly, and I have to admit this, and I feel guilty about it. Just because of the way things went for Arkansas last year, just because of the fact that I don't think most people expect Arkansas to do much this year, I look towards the bottom of the rankings to find Arkansas's head coach. But guess what? I was pleasantly surprised when he didn't appear there. Let's go down the list. Everybody can tell you that Nick Saban is the best coach in the SEC. That's not going to surprise anyone. Steve Spurrier at 2, we could debate to some degree. I could probably make an argument for Les Miles to be ahead of him, but I got no problem with Steve, and I think that's probably appropriate if you really looked at it. Les is 3rd. Gus is 4th. I think that may be a skosh high at this point. Mark Richt at 5. They have Brett Bielema at number 6 on the list of SEC coaches, just ahead of Kevin Sumlin. That was the one that got me. That tells me that the people at Saturday Down South and or nationally maybe have a little more respect than I thought they would.
Well, what's the criteria? Because there are some folks who put these lists out that look at the entire body of work, some that look at just what they've done in the SEC or in the recent past.
Well, if they're looking at just the SEC, he's not number 6.
Yeah, that's the reason why. I don't know if it was Athlon Sports had him ranked as, you know, 13th or whatever it was, 12th earlier in the year, just because of the last couple of years.
That was
this last year, actually.
If I told you that they had ranked him 6th, Robbie, would that have surprised you?
Again, what Pat was saying there, what's the criteria there? If you're talking about the entire body of work, just what it looks like they
obviously
are.
Obviously
they are. No, yeah, because Brett Bielema is a guy who has had a lot of success as a head coach, and that's undeniable. It was at Wisconsin, obviously. We all know last season was very, very rough for the Razorbacks and really his first run through the SEC, so he still has a lot to prove as far as that goes, but he still is a guy who has been to taken teams to 3 BCS games. He's 3 or 4 10-win seasons, I think, up there at Wisconsin, something like that, so he's a proven guy, so it doesn't shock me at all that he would be at number six on the list. Now, if you want to rank them just how they perform in Southeastern as a Southeastern Conference coach, then yeah, you got to put him down near the bottom because last year obviously he didn't perform very well as a head coach.
Agreed. Robbie Nyswanger joining us from the Arkansas News Bureau. The rest of the coaches, in case you're interested, Sumlin at 7, Pinkel at 8, Butch Jones, Will Muschamp at 10, which I think is way high, Hugh Freeze at 11, Dan Mullen, I think he should probably be a little higher, Mark Stoops at 13, and Derek Mason, just because he's never been a head coach at 14.
Right. I don't want you guys to stone me for this, but if we're looking at the Big Ten, when Wisconsin had won, was it 3 in a row, Big Ten championships?
Wisconsin, yeah.
Okay, can you think of a time when the Big Ten as a whole was down as much? I mean, Ohio State was down to the dumps. They couldn't even go to a bowl game, right? Where they had some kind of restrictions on them, Ohio State?
Ohio State, yes. Penn State, yes.
Coaching turmoil with Penn State, Ohio State. I don't know what
Indiana does.
I don't know what
football.
Rob Ford is doing over at Michigan. But he doesn't have that program going in the direction it needs
Ford
to go.
Stop.
Rob Ford needs to stop coaching Michigan football right now. My point is this. It's not as strong. I mean, you look at, and I'm not taking anything away from Big Ten title.
Oh, my gosh, you're bashing.
I told you don't stone me, okay? Can I not raise it? I have heard other people say this. And to that same point, can you look at a guy like Kevin Sumlin, who's had incredible success the last couple years, in an SEC West that has been murderer's row, son. Murderer's row. Here's my biggest problem when looking at a lot of these lists is they're based on strictly numbers. Strictly numbers. And not big. You know, a big picture guy in 2014.
Yeah, you are.
Let's look at the big picture. Can you answer that one for me?
I don't even know.
Tough guy?
What's the big picture? I don't even know. You lost me.
Don't look at wins and losses. You know. Look at maybe just how difficult it is to compete in said conference or said school that you're at. Is that how you rank coaches?
The flip side of Kevin Sumlin is that, you know, you could look at it this way. Now, first of all, I think he's a great coach, but you could look at it this way. Look at all the talent he had last year, and what did they finish, 8-4 in the regular season? So did he really do a great coaching job last year with all that talent?
Well, you could argue that some of the offensive line guys. I know what you're saying. Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways to look at it. That's why they love putting out these lists. These guys like us can knock heads about it. And certainly the criteria and the way you look at it. There's so many great coaches, it's tough to rank them all, let's be honest.
Another lie.
It is. But you know what? You know what? It generates a lot of debate, like we've just been debating here for the past few minutes. So that's what they're there for, and that's good. Yeah. That's what we do in this conference in the offseason, right? We put together lists and we debate them.
Well, how many times do you hear people say, well, Les Miles, all the talent at LSU, anybody can win there. And then you look at, well, was it DiNardo? Well, he couldn't get it done there. So,
precisely.
I don't know.
All right. Well, listen, Robbie, we got to go. Appreciate the time. We will visit with you again soon. Take care.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Have a good weekend.
Robbie, keep doing what you do, buddy. Don't ever change, okay? We appreciate you.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Jeff Money Taylor from Oakland. We're also going to talk to Kyle Ray from here at Sunrise Polaris. Every time we try to find him, he is gone, and every time he's available
to
us,
at the same time.
We're busy. So, yeah, it's kind of weird. Well, we can. I'd like to know what he has to think about. I'd like to know what he thinks about the upcoming Kentucky Derby, which we're going to talk to Jeff about.
I'd like to see that. You know where we're at right now?
Yes, I do. We are at Sunrise Polaris at Searcy.
That's right, Searcy. Searcy has one of probably the most trusted and certainly the best when you're dealing with building materials for the home. Also, floor covering. Rideout Lumber Company, located throughout this fine state and even in Joplin, Missouri. You can go to rideoutlumber.com, RIDOUT lumber.com. Find the locations nearest and dearest to you. There's one here in Searcy.